Hello, this is Brian. Welcome to this edition of the Didcot Abingdon and Wantage Talking Newspaper Dawn, recorded on Wednesday, the 5th of August, 2026. You'll hear a number of news items from the Herald series, and if you're listening from a memory stick, you'll also be able to listen to extra items from the RNIB magazine service. I'm the editor this week, and our readers are Lauren, Irene, Veronica and Sue. The recording technicians are Ken and Ufuk, and in the back office we have Maggie. We start this week with an item about new police anti-drug measures in Wantage.
Hello, this is Lauren. Police anti-drug measures in town. Police have revealed new measures to crack down on drug dealing in Wantage after a survey revealed it was the highest priority for local people. Wantage and Grove can expect random plainclothes operations, the presence of drugs dogs and drug swabbing operations in the coming weeks. They will come after the Wantage and Grove neighbourhood police team released the results of its 2026 survey into crime priorities in the area. Around 27% said drugs or drug dealing is their biggest concern, while 26% said antisocial behaviour and 18% speeding. It marks a significant increase in concerns about drugs, as in 2025, only 20% said it should be the police's highest priority, well below antisocial behaviour at 27%. Considering the results last year, the police have been focusing on antisocial behaviour, with its use of ASB powers in Wantage at one point being up 1.567% on the year before, with the town centre seeing a 43% cut in that form of crime year on year. As such, residents can expect a similar focus on drug crime in the latter half of 2026. Police and Crime Commissioner for Thames Valley Police, Matthew Barber, said the team will continue these efforts, conducting random plainclothes operations, attending licensed premises with drugs dogs, and carrying out drug swabbing operations where appropriate. They will also continue to work closely with partner agencies and neighbouring police forces to identify and target organised criminals coming into our communities to commit drug-related offences. Already there have been results. Last month, a man was cautioned for possession and another released with no further action after an incident in Lancaster Crescent in Grove. Around the same time, the team said it had dealt with multiple reports of cannabis being smoked in public places close to residential properties. Reports indicated the smell of the drug had caused an impact on the lives of locals, and police warned that smoking it is not a victimless activity. A force spokesman person said, Thames Valley Police is committed to taking a robust approach to tackling drug-related crime. The neighbourhood team in Wantage and Grove has had some excellent results recently disrupting the drug-related activity in the local community. We will work with our communities to develop intelligence into proactive investigations and would always encourage the public to report any concerns of drug dealing to Thames Valley Police via our website by calling 101 or reporting anonymously to the independent charity Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111. In addition, the survey noted that 42% thought the local police unit are occasionally visible and 10% said not visible at all, a significant improvement compared to 2025, when the latter number was at 34%.
Hello, this is Sue. Exhibition highlights town's Saxon past. Archaeological finds from Saxon times are now on display in Abingdon's museum. The County Hall Museum opposite the marketplace has a permanent Saxon display. Following last year's Roman exhibition, museum staff are continuing the story of the Abingdon area and its people through the Anglo-Saxon period, and a special exhibition is underway. entitled Saxon Abingdon, displays provide information about the significant Anglo-Saxon artefacts in the museum's permanent display, such as the rare 7th century gold ring with glass bead decoration. The museum's collections officer, Ellen Bornman, said construction work in the Saxton Road area led to the discovery of a Saxon cemetery and numerous Saxon artefacts. She added, in the early 1930s, work was starting on a new housing estate and the builders found a pottery urn and what looked like a helmet and contacted the Oxford Mail. The Ashmolean Museum then got involved. The Saxon Abingdon exhibition is expected to run until September 27th.
Hello, this is Veronica. Three councils plan to go ahead despite plea. The government has confirmed it intends to press ahead with the abolition of Oxfordshire's councils despite a leader's plea to the new Prime Minister. The county, city and district authorities, which have been governing Oxfordshire since the 70s, are set to be replaced by three new unitary councils in April 2028 under a national policy of local government reorganisation. The announcement was made by the then Secretary of State, Steve Reed, on Thursday, July 16th, the final day of Parliament sitting before its summer recess. Since then, Mr. Reed lost his position in the Cabinet, with new Prime Minister Andy Burnham replacing him with Angela Rayner. Following this, County Council leader Tim Bearder wrote to Mr. Burnham asking him to review the previous Prime Minister's decision to split up the county in a way that makes no sense at all and reverse the choice. A spokesperson for the Department for Housing, Communities and Local Government has now confirmed the government is focused on implementation and is bringing forward structural changes orders, legal documents to enable the new arrangements. It is not reviewing the reorganisation decision about Oxfordshire's councils or any others. The county had put forward a One Oxfordshire plan for the reorganisation, which would have seen all the existing council powers allocated to one unitary authority. The government has decided not to proceed with that, but instead with the three council proposal put forward by the Labour-run City Council. It will see three authorities created, each holding county and district level powers such as planning, transport and social care. These are a Greater Oxford Council, North Oxfordshire Council and Ridgeway Council, which also includes West Berkshire. The Department for Housing, Communities and Local Government spokesperson said, local government reorganisation will put one council in charge of decisions in their area, speeding up the construction of new homes and infrastructure, improving public services and boosting regional growth to put more money in people's pockets.
Hello, this is Irene. Marketplace plans to get major revision. A plan to improve safety for pedestrians and cyclists in and around Abingdon's marketplace have been revised following consultation, according to the County Council. A consultation on improvements for people walking and cycling in the town centre revealed strong support for the scheme. One of the major improvements will be a new pedestrian crossing linking Marketplace with a space outside the County Hall Museum. But some residents expressed concern about the proposed cycle lane for East St Helens Street, believing the design could be dangerous, and Oxford West and Abingdon MP Leila Moran has raised the issue with County Council Highways bosses. Abingdon North County Councillor Nathan Lee said transport officers have now revised the proposals. He said the County Council has published revised plans for the scheme following feedback from last autumn's consultation. The scheme itself has clear public support based on the original fundamentals. There were 345 consultation responses, with every main element receiving majority backing, ranging from 69% support for the East St Helens Street cycle contraflow to 81% for the town centre junction changes. However, people also raised practical concerns, particularly around parking, loading, passing places and the impact on residents. The plans have now been changed in response, but fundamentally the benefits we want to achieve in terms of making it easier to get around on foot, a wheelchair and bike in the town centre remain, and it's going to be great. Regarding East St Helens Street, Mr Lee said proposed new planting has been removed from the plans and two parking spaces would be reallocated to recreate large passing spaces. Some dual-purpose resident and pay and display bays will become resident permit only, and a widened pavement and new bollards would protect pedestrians beside the overhanging building. Overall, there would be no net loss of residential parking bays across the scheme. Other revised plans include the crossing near St Nicholas Church being re-angled to improve visibility. Extra cycle parking is proposed near the marketplace, and a new pedestrian crossing would be added between the Parasol Restaurant and the Punch Bowl Pub, and the loading bay outside Sue Rider would be shortened and moved slightly, while a new 15-metre loading bay would be created outside the King's Head and Bell. Mr Lee said the overall aim of the scheme remained the same, to complete an important missing link on the National Cycle Network Route 5, improve crossings through the town centre and make walking and wheeling and cycling safer. He added the council is asked for any final comments on the revision by September the 1st before a formal consultation on the overall scheme in the autumn.
MP welcomes step forward on delayed GP surgery. MP Ollie Glover has welcomed a significant step forward towards delivering a much needed GP surgery. A long-awaited breakthrough has been made on plans for a new GP surgery and health centre for Didcot's Great Western Park following years of delays. Although approving of the update, the MP for Didcot and Wantage said more work is still needed to deliver on long-standing promises. He said it is hugely frustrating that residents in Great Western Park are still waiting for the GP surgery that was promised years ago. The new surgery will relieve increasing pressure on surrounding surgeries and help improve access medical services for Didcot and the surrounding villages. The progress announced today is a welcome step forward, but of course there is a lot of catching up to do in ensuring that GP surgery to serve Didcot's growing population is realised. I am in regular contact with the ICB and will continue to push them and the government to ensure that the momentum behind the project continues. Apsley Henley Med Limited has been named as the developer for the project. Thames Valley Integrated Care Board has established a project group to oversee its delivery and keep progress on track.
Festival goers hit by food poisoning. Dozens of people were hit with food poisoning from a cellar at the Truck Festival. Festival goers have been complaining of upset stomachs from one of the stall holders at the Steventon-based four-day event. Some 27,500 people attended this year's Truck Festival, a record in what has been described as the biggest and best yet. It has been claimed by dozens of people that the food poisoning came from a Yorkshire pudding stall called Yorkie. Environmental health officials have launched an investigation while Truck Festival organisers removed the vendor within 90 minutes of it being reported to them. One festival goer who asked for anonymity told us, "Truck are an excellent team and the festival is well run, but all festival organisers need to do something to crack down on these sorts of food stalls turning out unsafe food fast at high prices. The same thing happened at Download, where food from a Yorkie stall left around 500 people needing hospital treatment. At best, food poisoning ruins an expensive event, and at worst is a serious danger to health. Festival organisers have an internal investigation taking place and a food vendor has been identified. On Sunday morning, our on-site medical team received reports from a number of attendees with similar symptoms, a spokesman for Truck said. our health and safety team launched an immediate investigation and identified a third-party food vendor as a suspected source. That vendor was removed from operation within 90 minutes of the first report. We reported our findings to the local environmental health officer the same day and are supporting their ongoing investigation into the cause. We share the disappointment and frustration of those whose weekend was affected. A spokesman for Vale of Whitehorse District Council said the authority has been made aware of a potential food poisoning outbreak at Truck Festival. Attempts have been made to contact Yorkie.
Gardeners face £1,000 fine under hosepipe ban. A new rule now means an everyday garden chore can land households with a £1,000 fine. Since July 23, Thames Water has been able to fine 10 million of its customers £1,000. The hosepipe ban means most householders can no longer use their hosepipe for common activities such as watering the garden. Watering a garden using a hosepipe, cleaning a private car, watering plants on domestic or other non-commercial premises using a hosepipe, or using the water for domestic recreational use are all now banned by the utility. The ban applies to all customers that it supplies with drinking water across London, the Thames Valley and the Home Counties, but not to waste-only customers. It comes as dry and hot conditions continue for large parts of the country, after three heat waves and the driest spring on record for England and Wales. This is causing pressure on water resources to intensify rapidly, with the hot weather pushing up demand as people consume more to stay cool, water gardens, sustain crops and protect infrastructure. Neville Muncaster, Director of Strategic Water Resources at Thames Water, said, "We would not be taking this step unless it was necessary to protect water supplies for everyone and the environment. While there is enough water for essential use, we need to reduce non-essential outdoor demand to keep taps flowing."
Care Home to host food festival for community. A care home is inviting residents and neighbours to join in a day of food, music and community spirit. Stoford House on Farringdon Road, Abingdon, will host a summer food festival on Saturday, August the 8th, from 12:30 to 3:30, as part of Care UK's National A Taste of Home campaign. The event will feature a barbecue, live music and locally brewed beers to celebrate community connections and the joy of good food. Stephanie Jones, the home manager at Stoford House, said, "We're delighted to be welcoming the local community to our very own food festival. We are part of a strong community here in Abingdon, and the days like this are a wonderful way of bringing people together to celebrate our shared love of food, while giving residents the opportunity to share their favourite recipes and traditions with younger generations. Entertainment will be provided by Tasmin Osborne and Lawrence Williams, creating a family-friendly festival atmosphere in the care home garden. Open to nearby residents and families, the festival is offering a chance to see life inside the care home in a relaxed and social setting. It also aims to highlight sustained community-focused practices and celebrates the diverse culinary traditions of residents. Stoford House offers full-time residential nursing and dementia care with facilities including a CAF."
Ex-Mayor remembers for lasting legacy. A heartfelt tribute has been issued after the death of a former Oxfordshire Mayor. Abingdon Town Council has issued a heartfelt message following the death of the town's former Mayor and Councillor Nigel Trippett. The statement from the council said, "It is with great sadness that Abingdon-on-Thames Town Council has learned of the passing of former councillor and mayor Nigel Trippett, who died peacefully at home on July the 14th, surrounded by his family. Nigel served as mayor of Abingdon from 1980 to 81 and made a lasting contribution to the civic life and tradition of the town. During the mayoral year, he presented the town with a model of the Abingdon Bunk railway engine as his civic gift. The model remains on display in the museum, where it continues to be enjoyed by visitors. Nigel also played a memorable role in celebrating one of Avignon's most treasured traditions. To commemorate the 80th birthday of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth the Queen Mother, he led a special bun-throwing celebration before travelling to Clarence House to present the Queen Mother with one of Abingdon's famous buns.
MP hails £13 million upgrade at Benson Weir. MP Freddie Van Mierlo visited Benson Weir following a major investment. The £13 million upgrade, delivered by the Environment Agency, replaces ageing infrastructure that led to the closure of the footpath in November 2022. It includes new weir gates, a safer, wider pedestrian walkway, and a fish and eel pass to support biodiversity. Mr. Van Mierlo, MP for Henley and Thames, said, "It was fantastic to visit Benson Weir and see the completed works for myself. This is a really important investment in our local area that will benefit residents, visitors, boaters and everyone who enjoys the River Thames for the anticipated 100 plus year life cycle of the bridge." He praised the Environment Agency for delivering the project while maintaining river management operations and welcomed the environmental improvements. Mr. Van Mierlo said, "It's also great to see environmental improvements built into the scheme, including the new fish and eel pass, helping wildlife thrive alongside the engineering works. The refurbished weir reopened to pedestrians earlier this year."
Free park and ride bus ticket scheme to end. The County Council's free park and ride bus ticket scheme is set to come to an end this month. On August the 15th, the free group day pass that comes with paying for parking will be replaced by a new £3 combined ticket covering 16 hours of parking and return bus travel for up to 5 people. The park and ride concession is being paid for by Oxfordshire County Council using its anticipated £5.2 million raised through the congestion charge, pay passes and fines. The change is effectively a 50p price increase for the group ticket and will impact the following park and ride locations: Pear Tree, Oxford Parkway, Thornhill, Redbridge, Seacourt. The end of the park and ride free pass is set to follow a price rise for multi-operator tickets, My Bus tickets. From August the 1st, there will be a rise of £3.50 to £5.50, 57% increase for a young person day ticket, £17 to £24, 41% increase for a young person weekly ticket, £6.50 to £8.50, 31% increase for an adult day ticket, and £30 to £34, a 13% increase for an adult weekly ticket. While these passes are on the rise, the government has announced a £2 fare cap is set to be reinstated from January 2027.
A sock full of drugs hidden in underwear. A man was arrested after police found drugs hidden in a sock inside his underwear. The discovery was made at the traffic light stop near Truck Festival in Steventon on July the 24th during a traffic patrol. Officers suspected the man's red Mercedes A-Class might be linked to drug supply and carried out a thorough search but initially found nothing. A police spokesman said, "While patrolling the roads surrounding Truck Festival, our team came across a vehicle that we believe may have been involved in the supply of drugs. The driver must have had quite a shock when, whilst waiting at the traffic lights on Milton Hill, Steventon, Police Constable Jeremy Oldroyd entered the vehicle and immediately placed him in handcuffs. Officers remained suspicious and took the man to Abingdon custody for a strip search, where he revealed a sock hidden in his underwear. The spokesman said, "It soon became apparent that he wanted to play a rather unpleasant game of hide and seek, a game that we really did not want to play. Just as the custody search process was about to begin, the male produced a sock made from inside his pants. Inside that sock were 18 wraps of cocaine. The 36-year-old man from outside the area was arrested on suspicion of possession with intent to supply Class A drugs, possession of cannabis and driving without insurance. His vehicle was also seized.
Hello, this is Brian again with a notice board, followed by some more news items. No, unfortunately, I have no birthdays to celebrate this week. However, there are three death notices to report in our area. Elizabeth Christopher, née Bumpass, passed away on the 21st of July 2026, aged 91. Phil McLean died peacefully at home on the 27th of July 2026, aged 63. Peter Neal died peacefully, surrounded by his family, on the 13th of July, aged 88. All will be sadly missed by their family and friends. We now have some items from recent history. So in 1891, which is perhaps not that recent, the first American Express traveller's check was cashed. In 1958, the nuclear-powered submarine Nautilus completed its historic journey under the North Pole. On 1962, Marilyn Monroe died alone in her bedroom from acute barbiturate poisoning. She was only 36. 1963, Britain, the United States and the USSR signed a nuclear test ban treaty. In 1974, US President Richard Nixon admitted his complicity in the Watergate affair. In 1984, Richard Burton, Welsh actor who became a Hollywood legend mainly through his marriage to Elizabeth Taylor, died in Geneva, aged 58. And finally, in 2012, Andy Murray claimed two Olympic medals after a momentous day on Wimbledon's centre court. We now move on to the second half of the recording with a nostalgia item about when fish and chips came wrapped in newspaper.
Fried delights which used to be wrapped in newspaper. Such is the reader appreciation for fish and chips. I'm featuring more of your chippy memories. Judy Hamblin told me, when I was a kid, there was a chippy near us run by a man who always had a ciggy on the go with about an inch of ash, and you can imagine where that landed. We used to run in and ask for 3 pennyworth of chips with fag ash and then run out again. In those days, chips were 3p for a small bag and 6p for the larger size. Those were the days. Marcus Moore said, it brings back such fond memories of my nanny's house, as the lingering smell of chips from the nearby chip shop always evokes my childhood. In the 1940s and 50s, Gordon Davies' grandparents owned a fish and chip shop and his family lived on site. The price of the chips was 3 old pence and a fish was a shilling. Gordon said, with the fish shop being open all day on a Friday, we used to go to the back door for a bag of chips. We were only allowed 1 3-cornered bag per day, and we used to put loads of vinegar on the chips. Then, when they were gone, we'd cut the bottom corner off and drink the vinegar. As I got older, I spent time in the afternoon with my uncles eyeing potatoes as they came out of the peeling machine and cutting newspapers into squares, ready for the evening openings. It had a hand-operated chipper with a handle you pulled down onto a potato placed on a square of blades. It looked lethal, and one of my uncles could chip the potatoes at an alarming rate. I could never work out how he managed to keep all his fingers.
Station is top family rail destination. A railway station has been named as a top destination for family rail travel due to a neighbouring heritage attraction. New data from Trainline has revealed that Didcot Parkway is one of the top trending destinations for family rail travel this summer, with passenger bookings up 116% for the first week of the summer holidays. The Didcot Railway Centre has been highlighted as a key draw for visitors, described as a must visit for train-loving children, and offering historic steam locomotives, interactive exhibits and heritage railway experiences. The attraction is around a 10-minute walk from the station, making it easily accessible for families travelling by rail. Other destinations on the train line list include Saltburn, Ilkley, Morecambe, Arundel, St Erth, Bolton and Warwick. To support families on longer journeys, Trainline has partnered with U2 to launch a free collection of 12 audio draw-alongs featuring guided drawing activities for children. Sajjad Muhtamad, UK Country Manager at Trainline, said, "Summer adventures start long before families reach their destination. Our booking data shows families are making the most of Britain's brilliant railway-connected attractions this summer. But we also know that longer journeys can sometimes be challenging for parents who want to keep little ones entertained."
Couple on 10-day Thames journey in self-built boat. A couple who built their own expedition rowing boat are making their way down the River Thames. Rosie Blades and Michael Bailey, who met less than a year ago, set off from Lechlade last week with the hope of finishing at the Thames estuary this Sunday. The boat, named the Floating Fun Quest, passed through Oxford the weekend before carrying on through southern Oxfordshire and on to Wallingford and Henley. Mr. Bailey has previously rowed the Thames in a solo boat built by his father and had always dreamed of building a larger shared vessel. Ms. Blades said, "Building the boat has become just as much a part of the adventure as rowing it. It has been an opportunity to challenge ourselves, learn completely new skills and create something with our own hands that will carry us on future expeditions." The duo began the project in December, building the vessel as a personal talent challenge and a way to raise awareness for environmental charities, including Thames 21 and Surfers Against Sewage. Thames 21 works to restore and protect rivers through hands-on conservation, data collection and public engagement. Surfers Against Sewage campaigns for clean oceans and water quality, bringing pollution issues into national focus. The pair completed most of the work themselves, with support from friends, family and the wider community, relying on second-hand tools and repurposed materials. "It's quite special," he said. "We'll be launching the boat we designed and built ourselves together just days before the first anniversary of meeting each other. That makes the launch feel even more meaningful." The pair hope their journey will encourage others to care for the river and support environmental action. Ms. Blaze said, "If our story encourages even a handful of people to spend more time enjoying and looking after the Thames, we'll feel the expedition has achieved something meaningful." Their time on the water is being shared online through videos and social media, and their schedule allows for community engagement at each stop. This includes riverside presentations and boat tours, where they will talk about the build and the importance of river stewardship. After months of building, the couple said setting off from Lechlade was a deeply emotional moment. They said, "More than anything, we'll feel incredibly proud, not just because we've built a boat, but because we've proved to ourselves that ambitious ideas really can become reality if you're willing to learn, work hard, and keep going. Launch day didn't feel like the end of the project, it felt like the beginning. This expedition is the first chapter of a lifetime of adventures together."
Landmark Energy Project Plan. A landmark energy project plan has been put forward for an Oxfordshire Science Centre, which is set to revolutionise sustainability on the campus. The proposal for building R134 at Rutherford Appleton Laboratory, part of Harwell and Science Innovation Campus near Didcot, has been handed to the Vale of Whitehorse District Council for a planning consultation, which will end on August the 19th. In the project's design and access statement, the planners call it a sustainable energy distribution facility designed to decarbonise the Rutherford Appleton Laboratory campus.
Much acclaimed blues singer to play at Unicorn, Devon singer-songwriter Sarah Yeo is set to perform at St Helen's Church. She will headline music at the Unicorn on Thursday, October the 1st, following an opening set for Russwell Road in Abingdon last year. A music at the Unicorn spokesperson said she is really excited to bring her new album, The Circles of the Grain, to an appreciative Abingdon audience. She made a fantastic impression when she opened for Roswell Road at the Unicorn Theatre in Abingdon last year, so we had to invite her back as a headliner. Miss Yeo, known for her spine-tingling vocals, was a finalist in the International Blues and Roots Songwriting Competition in 2019 and 2020, and a semi-finalist in the 2024 UK Songwriting Competition for her single Leap of Faith. Her music blends country, folk and Americana, drawing for influence from artists such as Linda Ronstadt and Gretchen Peters. She has performed across the UK and the USA, including shows in New York and California. BBC described her voice as beautiful voice. Her discography includes 5 EPs and albums, along with a cover of Constant Craving, which received K.D. Lang's approval.
Folk Americana band with local roots to play at show. A UK folk Americana band with roots in Abingdon is set to take to the stage as part of an ongoing local concert series. The Lost Notes will headline Music at the Unicorn's next gig on Thursday, September the 3rd, bringing their lively performances and rich vocal harmonies to a hometown audience. Now based in Birmingham, the group has built a growing reputation on the UK folk scene and is currently touring its third studio album, Good Luck Shoes, which was named Editor's Choice by the British Country Music Association. They were also crowned Band of the Year by music platform FATEA in early 2025. Described by Folk for Folk's Sake Radio as taking the folk world by storm, The Lost Notes are known for their energetic live shows and strong connection with audiences. The concert is part of the Music at the Unicorn's regular programme, which continues while its usual venue undergoes renovations. Mike Ward, chairman of Music at the Unicorn, said, whilst the Abbey buildings are undergoing renovations, Music at the Unicorn are proud to continue our concerts at the iconic St Helen's Church. It's wonderful to see our brilliant songwriters and performers in another beautiful historic building. In short, it's the same but different.
Swinging 60s Anniversary Celebration. Memories of the swinging 60s came flooding back at a club celebration lunch near Didcot. Members of East Hendred Golden Age Club gathered to celebrate its diamond anniversary with a summer lunch. The celebration last month included entertainment based on 1960s and 1970 songs performed by local singer Dom Hones. Some members dressed in 1960s fashions, and the tables displayed sparkling decorations and vases of flowers. Union flags were waved enthusiastically to celebrate England's World Cup triumph in 1966, and the grand raffle featured prizes donated by members. The club began in 1966 when a committee was formed to organise a monthly tea party for the local over 70s. At that time, it was linked to the Berkshire Voluntary Committee for Old People, BVC, and Clara Williams liaised with them to provide care and welfare for members. 60 years on, and it is a thriving, friendly, self-funded social club, and Clara is now one of its 65 members. The club now welcomes members aged 55 or over who live in or have strong links to the Hendreds.
A dancer aged 12 represents England. A talented dancer from southern Oxfordshire performed on the world stage with help from the builder's merchant. 12-year-old Iona Geo Hegan, a student at the American Dance School in Wantage, was part of a 16-strong team representing England at the Dance World Cup finals in Dublin. Sponsored by Juicen, Iona's journey was supported by the company, which helped cover her travel and accommodation costs. James Smith, Regional Director for Juicen, said, "We are delighted to support Iona as she represented England at the Dance World Cup."
Pensioners do battle with crafted chess set. A thoughtful gesture has helped bring residents together through a classic game of strategy and skill. Residents at Hanover Court in Didcot, part of Anchor's network of housing and care schemes for older people, recently received a handcrafted chess set from fellow Anchor residents at the Dials in Hinckley, Leicestershire. Hanover Court has been looking to introduce chess into their growing programme for social activities, but lacked a chess set to get started. That changed when residents at the Dials, led by Activities Group Chairman Phil Whitmore, donated a handcrafted set made by Mr. Whitmore himself. Mr. Whitmore said, "We were pleased to be able to support Hanover Court with their activity programme. Chess is a wonderful way to bring people together, and it's great to know the set will be enjoyed by fellow residents." The board was presented to Paul Foster, Activities Coordinator at Hanover Court, who said it's already become a popular feature among residents. Mr. Foster said, "When Phil got in touch about gifting us a handcrafted chess set, we were touched by the warm gesture. The Dials is one of Anchor's later living developments."
Centre to host new Caribbean culture classes. A series of workshops are set to showcase African Caribbean culture through food, creativity and community. Taking place at Cornerstone Arts Centre in Didcot throughout August, the programme will include free pop-up activities celebrating heritage and culture through cookery, creative arts and community connection. The events follow the success of the Didcot Festival of Cultures and are part of broader efforts to promote understanding and engagement. Georgina Heritage, Cabinet Member for Communities at South Oxfordshire District Council, said, "The Didcot Festival of Cultures was a fantastic event. It was great to see so many people come along and find out about different cultures, the food, the dances and the textiles. These workshops in August are another way of exploring the world around us and connecting with people. I'm pleased that we are able to open up these sessions to some areas of our wider community, including special educational needs children and families. Workshops will run every Saturday throughout August, with sessions also available during the week. Activities will include junior creator sessions for children aged 8 to 12 and adult cookery classes. The events are organised in partnership with the Council's Be Together programme, the Abingdon-based African Caribbean Autism Family Support Group and Cornerstone."
Teenage music prodigy releases album. A talented 18-year-old music prodigy has released her debut album. Martha Rook, a singer and songwriter from Wantage, has launched When Daylight Comes, which features 5 original tracks and accompanying videos. It is available on all major platforms. A spokesperson from Polsing Music Management said, "She has spent the best part of a year finally crafting the songs and the singles. A long way from Rome and The Rolling Stone are as near as perfect indie pop singles as you will find anywhere and guaranteed to leave you humming them all day. Combine that with the atmospheric and anthemic title track, as well as a stunning piano ballad and an acoustic track, you have a debut extended play album that is going to make big waves." Ms. Rook has been playing in pubs and other venues since she was 13. Indeed, earlier this year, a demo copy of A Long Way From Rome was sent to John Lewis, and they subsequently invited her to play live in store for one of their store promotions. They then invited her back in December to be part of their in-store Christmas campaign.
Firefighters cool off with a gift of lollies when tackling blaze. Firefighters were handed ice lollies by a well-wisher as they tackled an industrial fire. A blaze broke out on an industrial estate in Goring Heath at around 2 p.m. on Monday of last week. Up to 85 firefighters and emergency personnel responded from Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue Service, Royal Berkshire Fire and Rescue Service, supported by Thames Valley Police and South Central Ambulance Service. Goring Fire Station thanked a member of the Woodcote community for bringing ice lollies to the fire crews who worked to extinguish the blaze. On a Facebook post, it said, "Thanks so much to a member of Woodcote community who very kindly brought ice lollies down to the fire crews who are working around the clock. The fire burnt out buildings, vehicles, pallets and vegetation on the site before spreading into a nearby tree line and surrounding fields. The presence of flammable gas cylinders, some of which exploded during the early stages of the incident, meant firefighters had to work carefully to contain the blaze while keeping crews safe. The response was scaled back to 6 appliances during the early evening as crews remained on site overnight to dampen down hotspots. 2 crews remained on site while Long Toll Road off of the B4526 in Goring remained closed on Tuesday of last week to support ongoing operations. A fire investigation is now underway." A spokesman for Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue said the cause of the fire is currently unknown and a fire investigation is underway. "We would like to thank residents and members of the public for their patience and cooperation while emergency services dealt with this incident." Maggie Filipova-Rivers, Liberal Democrat Oxfordshire County Council and councillor for Goring, shared an update. She said the combination of strong winds, high temperatures and exceptionally dry conditions made the fire particularly challenging, with crews working to prevent it from spreading beyond the site. She also thanked emergency services. She said, "Many thanks go to all of the firefighters and emergency service personnel who responded so quickly and worked in extremely difficult conditions to protect nearby properties, businesses and the surrounding countryside. My thoughts are also with the business owners affected by the fire who now face a difficult task of recovering from this incident." She added, "This is one of several large fires attended by Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue Service during the recent spell of hot and dry weather. It's a timely reminder of the increased fire risk, and I would encourage everyone to take care when enjoying the countryside by avoiding open flames, disposing of cigarettes safely, and reporting any signs of fire immediately."
That's the last news item for this week. I thank the Herald Series and other sources for the items we've used, and thank Ken, Ufuk, Maggie and the readers for their time. Goodbye, keep safe and well, and thank you for listening.